Our lesson today comes from John 21, verses 1 through 19. Hear God's word. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. And this is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee and two other disciples were together, and Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "Well, we're going with you." And they went out, and they got in the boat. And they caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. And Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" And they answered, "No." And he said, "Well, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." And they did what he said. And all of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. And then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the master." And when Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and he dove into the sea. And the other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've caught." And Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore. 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. And Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." And not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and he gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. Well, after breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, master, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." He then asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, master, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Shepherd my sheep." And then he said it a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, "Do you love me?" And so he answered, "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and you went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go." He said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, "Follow me." May God give us understanding of his holy word. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. This week, I came across one of those stories, a true story, that I have not been able to get out of my mind. Leonard Sweet was telling about a conversation he had with a teacher out in California. And the teacher told him that he did a very interesting experiment. He teaches high schoolers, and he asked them to tell him who was their favorite hero. And he had, you know, certain expectations of what they would probably answer. They'd probably be sports figures. There might be favorite singers or pop stars, or maybe somebody on TV, you know, celebrities. Might even be a relative or a friend who's had a strong impact on their life. And he was shocked to hear the answer. He was shocked when 80% of the high schoolers named as their hero, are you ready? Themselves. 80% of those high school students named themselves as being their biggest hero. Now, maybe some of us shouldn't be surprised by that, but I was shocked by that. Now, I understand, I know that there has been concern about the way that parenting has changed, and even the way in schools, that there has been such a concern in recent years that every child feel valued, that a lot of times they're given awards and all kinds of things, even when they haven't really earned them, but just because they're them. Because we want everyone to feel valuable. And there's been a recognition that when you don't earn things and you just are valuable for the sake of being valuable, that it's hollow. But it also can be misleading. And I have no doubt that part of it is, again, that a lot of our kids aren't coming to church, don't know about God, don't know about anything bigger than themselves, and so are encouraged in a way to think of themselves as being the most important person in the world. And then this morning I read another article, this too by a teacher, and it was talking about a concern for students who are not doing well in school and the reasons why. And it went into great detail about all the trials and challenges that so many of our young people are going through at home. Situations where parents are working so hard and are so busy just trying to make ends meet that at times they're not always able to be there for their kids, or when they are, they're exhausted. Or situations where there are highly dysfunctional parents, where the parents don't even know what it means to be parented. Maybe they weren't parented well themselves when they were growing up, and they're still, in a way, kids themselves trying to find their way. There were so many reasons about why these kids are struggling. But in both cases, it seems like part of it is that many do not know that there was somebody greater and bigger and stronger who loves them more than life itself. This morning's story, we have a disciple who denied Jesus 3 times. He had to have been nervous as he recognized Jesus on the shore. This is a pivotal time for the disciples as they sort through everything they've seen and experienced and been taught, and now are trying to apply in the real world. And so he says, "Let's go fishing." That was something he knew. It was something that he was comfortable with. And of course, they had to eat too. And then they are amazed when, after catching nothing, after coming up empty-handed on their own, they come back with this huge net full of fish, crammed with fish, in a net that was too heavy for them to even carry, and yet the net didn't break. And they hauled it on to shore, there to eat again with their Lord and their Master. Some may wonder why Jesus took this disciple aside to ask him if he loved him. He was embarrassed. He loves Jesus. He was embarrassed. He'd failed. Would he fail again? But he loves Jesus. And 3 times, just as 3 times he denied Jesus, Three times he was asked and responded, "Yes, I love you." Then what to do? Feed my sheep. Care for the others around. Spread that love. It's no accident that Jesus was asking him, "Do you love me?" That's the question that he's asking each of us as well. Do you love him? Because that's where it starts. Everything that we do, everything about us in terms of who we are, starts with what we love. Think about in your own life, even if you did not know Jesus, or even if you're struggling with that, what do you love? Whatever it is that you love, that's what you'll follow. That's what will come first. Those of us who have been parents, we love our kids. And many of us, we'd die for those kids. The kids may not know it, they may not understand it, but we would do anything. My dear friend Conrad used to call me the mama bear, and he would always be teasing me about how I'd be fighting for my cubs. You better not get in the way of the mama bear, because when it comes to her cubs, that comes first. And I have to say that it was even almost to the point of where it was too much. Because if there's anything, including our kids, that we idolize over God, then things are going to be out of place in our life. They're going to be mixed up. They're not going to be working. What I had to learn, even as a mom who loved my cubs, was that as much as I love them, and I've shared this with you, as much as I love them, God loves them more. I've just been the nanny who's been blessed to have a part in their lives and a chance to care for them. But first and foremost, each of us is called to love God. And part of that, it's listed as a commandment, but it's not that God is trying to force us. It's a choice that each of us needs to make, because as we put God first, it shapes the whole rest of our life. When we have to be number one, that's a lot of pressure. And it's something that we can never live up to. If we have to be number one, if we have to be the gods in our own lives, we will always fail. We will never succeed. And God will let us keep tripping up until we learn that lesson. And that's not an easy lesson to learn. Those kids who are putting themselves as number one right now, they sadly have a lot of really difficult lessons ahead of them. Right now, they're high schoolers, and yes, they're dealing with some challenging things in their lives, but as they get further down the road, it's going to get even more challenging. And what we don't realize a lot of times is that there is a huge, incredible relief and burden taken off of our shoulders when we don't have to be God in our lives. When we can let God be God and us be his followers, it's a source of peace and comfort and relief. God loves you. And when you let go and give your love first to him, everything else will come into order. It doesn't mean that life will be easy, but suddenly the pieces will come together in a way that it'll be what it's supposed to be. And once we start loving God and letting him be God, then we start to realize what our purpose is. And our purpose is to care for others. If we're aware of the fact that God is looking out for us, then we don't have to be the ones looking out for ourselves all the time. When we know he's caring for us, when he knows that he would sacrifice his very life for us, when we know that and believe that, then we can be generous with others. We can care for others. We can take risks with others. We can do anything because we're not relying on our power. We're relying on God's power. And that comes to the third, following him. Not him following us, which is what some of us would sometimes like him to do, but us following him, putting things in order. Jesus shared with that loved disciple what he wants to share with us as well. It all starts with love. First and foremost, loving God, and then loving others. And as a way of expressing that love to God and to others, feeding his sheep, caring for others, looking out for others. And finally, never forgetting who we're called to follow. If we can just get those in our head, anything is possible. Anything. Let us pray. Almighty God, never let us forget that you are our God, and we are your followers, created to love you and to love each other. Help us to do those things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.